I'm sorry to cut you off, Paula. Thank you so
That's
much
okay.
for mentioning those. I'm going to mention a couple of those again. Welcome,
Okay.
everyone, to episode 57 of Coffee with the Coder. We're excited to see you dialing in today, and it was wonderful to get to chat with our insiders for 10 minutes. Just mention to those of you who are just joining that if you want to be an insider too, dial in at 10 o'clock instead of waiting until 10:10. You can also join our insiders Facebook page by submitting a selfie of yourself with AQIQ branded something. We call that a mugshot, and we'll share that, and you can share that, and that's just the admission for that private page. So you were talking, Paula, about the webinar on Friday, so I wanted to mention that for a second. It's interventional radiology and CPT. So that's a fabulous topic. If that touches what you do, then you might want to go check that out on the website. ErfPro Labs is coming soon. A tiny little hiccup on the one that we were planning in early spring, so it's pushed back just a little bit because of construction. but then we'll have that taken care of soon and give you some dates. Go ahead and sign up that you're interested, and we'll make sure you know. And Revenue Warriors will be opening soon, so we want to make sure that if you're just needing camaraderie and the ability to bounce off ideas and get it right and stay there, and maybe a couple other things that Paula mentioned, then Revenue Warriors is the place for you. So that is a membership-based community. Yes, yes. So are we ready? Shall I go ahead and talk to this first question?
Yeah, yeah. Just real quick, or do you want to say it at the end about the just to remind folks of the February Spotlight deal?
Oh, yeah, let me say it so I don't forget. February Spotlight deal, if you are not a normal subscriber, if your organization doesn't pay your way, then you are blessed with the ability to purchase our courses at AQIQ one at a time. And in the month of February, it's We Heart Our Listeners, and that is, as a listener to CWT, to Coffee with the Coder, you can get the entire library for the rest of the month for $50. And so all you have to do is reach out to me for the code, and I'll send that to you. I don't have it in front of me, but I looked it up a few minutes ago. Anyway, it's open for you. Insiders get a little bit, they get $10 off, and Revenue Warriors get another $10 off. So I'm going to first start with this question from one of our insiders who works in an inpatient rehab. She has a question about acute rehab patient diagnosis. She says, we had someone on the unit last week for, I'm not sure I'm saying this right, rhabdomyolysis due to a fall at home with a two-day stay on the floor because someone found her. She was discharged back to acute care from our unit due to altered mental status and fever. She was found to have meningitis since the discharge from rehab. She's almost ready to come back to our unit after being gone for 7 days. The new diagnosis of meningitis is more current than the rhabdo. Should I do a new admission under the meningitis, or should I make her a readmission under rhabdo and use meningitis as a comorbid? Thank you.
Okay, cool. So our research indicated that rhabdo, and it's rhabdomyolysis, can be caused by meningitis. But it sounds like the patient was in for rhabdo and then the infection either came on or was maybe just recognized later she could have actually had it. And then so my question back to Heather was, you know, is that what the record shows? Did the meningitis cause worsening of the rhabdo? You know, what was really the focus of care for that second admission? So we went back and forth a little bit on this question. And she said, yes, the meningitis was found after the discharge back from rehab due to her decline in mental status. Unfortunately, the patient has already come and gone twice, so I had to decide already what to do. I made the second case a new admission instead of readmission under the meningitis diagnosis because of the change in mental status. She was presenting more like a brain injury, where the first time she was presenting more like generalized weakness until the day of discharge. Now, she says, I wasn't really sure what to do because she was so different. I decided to use the new diagnosis. I don't know if this was the right decision, but I thought it could probably go either way. So, and she asked if we could just walk through our process of reasoning for how we would choose that IGC when we get stuck. And so my response back to Heather was, you know, we completely agree with you on this one. The logic trail that you went through is exactly the same as we're going to do. Because the patient's presentation was different, it makes sense to have the second admission be meningitis because they had all the cognition stuff going on. based on what you're saying, the symptoms and the focus of care also aligned with the fact that we were bringing her back under that meningitis diagnosis. So just to give you a heads up, I always go back and ask the question. You read through the documentation and as best you can go, okay, what is the primary condition that is causing the impairment? So I'm thinking about, you know, my etiologic diagnosis. And then I go, okay, so what is the focus of care? What is that impairment and the focus of care? And the way that Heather described thinking through that the patient was different and the fact that there was now those new cognition issues and that that was more heavily weighted than it was with the generalized weakness that she was in under before, that is exactly what we would do when we're determining the IGC and the etiologic diagnosis. So good job, Heather.
Oh, thank you, thank you. So now we're going to move over to a question from Lois, and it doesn't look like an inpatient rehab. It looks like a doctor's office, but you'll be able to tell that better from the question. She says, this is a coding question. Can the status of chronic condition be counted as part of the HPI when documented in the assessment, or does it need to be documented in both places? And I wasn't sure what the both places were.
Yeah, I had to read that two or three times, and actually I think we reached back out to Lois to ask her the question, but then when I went back to read it again, I think I got it. So basically she's saying that the patient has a chronic condition, but it was documented in the assessment portion of the note. So we know that there are the different portions, usually the history of present illness, which includes the HPI, the review of system, or the history, which includes the HPI, the review of systems, and the past family social history, and then the examination portion, and then the medical decision making, which includes the assessment and plan. So she's asking if they don't include that chronic condition in the HPI portion, but they state it in the assessment to say this patient has the chronic condition. First of all, when you are auditing medical records for evaluation and management services, which is what this is, the doctor doesn't have to put all the HPI. Of course, we would love it if he put all the HPI information under HPI or all the assessment information under assessment. We would love it if they do that. Some doctors document in a various different ways. You know, some use soap notes, they use cheddar notes. There's all kinds of different notes that they can be using, or they use their own little format. So that said, if it is a chronic condition and it is historical, depending on how it matters in the actual encounter, then, yeah, I would say you could consider it for the HPI. Now, if it really wasn't relevant to the encounter, of course, I probably wouldn't include it at all. But the bottom line is you want to make sure that the information is relevant, that it has something to do with the encounter in order to report it as part of the you know, what's going on with the patient. And it may have just been because of our copy and paste world, it causes this problem to be, huge because we're bringing forward information all the time. And sometimes they might bring it forward in the assessment and not bring it forward in the HPI. So I'd really look and see what's going on. But because it was a chronic condition, yeah, it definitely existed. And you could argue that fact clearly in an audit situation. So, Pam?
Thank you, thank you. Okay, so I'm going back to an inpatient rehab where our friend Amanda has a question. She says, I'm going back and forth between IGC 01 and 02 for a metastatic brain neoplasm that caused intracerebral hemorrhage. Am I right going with 01 because the hemorrhage complicated the neoplasm? The deficits are too similar for me to differentiate between those due to frontal lobe neoplasm and those due to intracerebral hemorrhage.
Well, yeah, and there was thought going into this one as well because, we kind of discussed it internally. So if the neoplasm caused the hemorrhage and it's documented as such, but the deficits are the same for both, I kind of go towards the brain because there's a stronger argument for the brain being the condition that, you know, started everything. So I would put the patient in O2. It's hard if you can't distinguish between the deficits and the primary focus of care, but with it being the thing that led down the trail to everything else, I think I would go with brain. But now there's also situations, so like the patient has a stroke and then also has a brain hemorrhage from a fall. Let's say the patient fell, and when they come in, it shows that they've had a hemorrhage and a stroke. And so the doc really doesn't know which came first. We want the physician to document it as best as possible and make that decision, but you really can, in those situations, argue it both ways.
Thank you. Thank you. Do you have time for one more?
What time is it? It's 10:20. We can fit it in. We can fit it in.
Okay. Let me ask you this one more. It's from our friend Tabitha, who also works in an inpatient rehab. She says, we recently came across the AHIMA Inpatient Rehab Facility Toolkit, which states under coding comorbid conditions and complications, this sentence, if a condition arises, whether it is a comorbidity or a complication, it cannot be coded on the ERFPI if it occurred the day before discharge or the day of discharge, but it should be coded on the UBO4 according to ICD-10-CM guidelines. With that said, we haven't coded the last 2 days of the stay for the ERFPI, but we should be coding the entire stay, right? Here we've always been told that we shouldn't be coding any condition that arises the day before discharge or the day of. Can you confirm that it's best practice for us as coders to code the entire stay and the ERFPI coordinator leaves off the diagnoses that occurred in the last 2 days?
Yes, yes. And so I think what she's saying is that they've been leaving them off on the day of discharge and the day preceding on the UBO4. The UBO4 has different rules for assigning diagnosis codes than the ERFPI. And the ERFPI says those conditions recognized on the day of discharge or the day preceding can't go on that document. But they will, all of them will go up through discharge, will go on the UBO4 claim form. So, yes, that is correct. There was another statement that I wanted to make, and I lost my train of thought. It just went, woo, right out the door. But, yes, that is correct. You would report all diagnoses on the UBO4, but the last 2 days are not on the ERFPI. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Oftentimes, the process would involve where if you've got coders working separately from the ERF staff and you're communicating back and forth between the PPS or CMG coordinator and the coder can put a date next to the conditions that were considered not present on admission, and you can do that if you're using 3M. You can put a little note in there, and you have to print it out before it's finalized. So you like print it out and send it to the, or a lot of facilities will send an email to the PPS or CMG coordinator and say, don't put these on the ERFPI. So that's why it's very important so that they know when it's recognized.
Thank you, thank you. Okay, so now we've got mugging to do. I've written down the names of those who ask. Everybody was non-anonymous today, so I've been stirring them up on my desk. And let's see, draw a name. Lois, congratulations. You are the winner of today's mugging. I will reach out to you and let you know. I want to remind everybody there's a webinar on Friday for interventional radiology. We've got that awesome We Heart You promotion for February to get our entire library for only $50. And watch out for ERFPRO Labs and Revenue Warriors. We're excited to have you. Be sure to join us in 2 weeks at 10:10. Thank you.